tree.
There we go.
Hey, we're on. How you doing, Bob?
Very well, Tom, and yourself.
Not bad.
Good.
I know for our viewers and listeners, we were supposed to be here on Friday, but being the high budget operation we are, Bob and I both had other things to do on the on Friday, so we're doing it today on the 30th.
Yeah. Well, life happens and you got to grab the bull by the horn, so.
There you go, or just grab the bull. And to our American listeners and viewers, a happy Memorial Day to you guys and gals. It behooves us to say that it's a very important holiday for two reasons. One, it's a remembrance of all those that have made the ultimate sacrifice in not just your country but in others as well for freedom and prosperity and so forth. And it really is the unofficial beginning of summer, more or less, in this part of the world.
We can only hope. We can
Indeed.
only hope.
So, what's hot on our plate today, Bob?
Well, I saw quite interestingly a topic about how Hungary would like to restrict foreign travelers from coming in to buy, should I say, cheap or subsidized gas, whichever I guess makes the most sense to the listeners, but I kind of wonder why they decided to do that, and is that going to catch on?
Well, it's interesting because they're in the European Union, so there's no border to speak of. You can drive your car in from Austria or Romania or Czech Republic or so, wherever, and go buy gas. Of course, the government of Hungary gets all of its fuel from Russia, and the very people who are coming in from Austria, for example, who are big on sanctions on Russia, are quite happy to buy Russian gas in Hungary for, half the price that they're paying in Vienna.
I did read a bit of the article, and they were talking about some issues of, I guess it's going to be up to the poor clerk inside the kiosk to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you've got an Austrian plate. I can't give it to you at $1.95. You're going to have to pay the price of $3.95 or whatever." So is that going
Yeah.
to put them at danger, or
Well, actually, I did take a look at how that works. Basically, when you go to pay your bill, you show proof that you are your vehicle is registered in Hungary. So you're and then what happens is your discount is on your bill. So if you prove that your car ABC123 is Hungarian registration, you have the vehicle registration. Right at the till, that subsidy is marked, and so you don't, which obviously, if you're driving plates from another jurisdiction, you can't do. So it doesn't put much of, onus on the sellers. They just go, hey, well, you have a right to this
Although
discount.
it does open up an interesting aspect about privacy, I guess, and where you're going and how you're traveling and etc.
Privacy, what's that? You surely jest.
Well,
Privacy.
who
In today's
knows?
digital world, there's not much privacy. But it's certainly an interesting phenomena. And I understand it. This subsidy runs till the 1st of June. And then, I don't know. I mean, essentially, the Hungarians have to come to terms with this business of the sanctions. It makes for a very, I'm sure, heated discussion within the EU because there's a whole bunch of cutting off your nose to spite your face with the sanctions, it appears, and also there's the ardor for these hapless Ukrainians from the press and from a lot of these politicians seems to be cooling because the cost is boomeranging on some of these virtue signaling types who. Happy to send bullets to Ukraine, but don't want to get any more involved. And so these sanctions are really rippling through so many sectors of the economy. And the other part of that story, I think, is about how many folks are actually in Hungary. It's the Apparently, 728,000 refugees have crossed into Hungary from Ukraine since the start of the war.
Wow.
That's almost three quarters of a million people. And Hungary's only got a population of 10 million, so soon you're looking at 10% of the population almost of folks who are now, whether they stay there or not is I wonder how many have
Yeah.
moved on to other parts of Europe and indeed to North America, because as you know, a lot of them are coming to North
Yeah.
America as well. But there's a lot of stories within the stories of the whole Ukrainian refugee movement and how they're being preyed upon. There's another story in the paper that is I think about how refugees from Africa and places that like that are essentially preying on Ukrainian refugees, for in issues of trafficking and fraud and whatever. And I'm thinking, if you're already a refugee, why are you trying to inflict even more pain on a fellow refugee? There seems to be a strange dichotomy there.
Yeah, well, that's another issue that probably could well go beyond a 15-minute podcast, but that's I don't want to sound cruel or callous, but I wonder just how many of these people are refugees under the definition, or in fact just nothing more than economic migrants. But that's
Well,
probably a topic better left for another day.
indeed, and that's one that is not exactly recent news either. It's been long in the making.
Yeah.
But the refugee issue in Europe is complicated by the fact that you've got multiple jurisdictions vying with in the same political sphere, same economic sphere. And refugees, and again, without going into a long discussion here in this particular episode, there's a lot of picking and choosing on where you want to be a refugee, and the whole notion of safe third country, and this
Yeah.
has been going on for years, and frankly, the leadership of most Western governments are loath to really deal with it in a comprehensive manner. It is what it is.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too that we had a big push to try and get some Afghan refugees here, and I think most of them are still waiting for the airplanes to show up, but we've had our second flight of Ukrainian refugees show up. I'm kind of wondering how that's going to pan out as well, but
Well, the European situation with regard to Ukraine is recent, of course. It's been what, 3 months now since that's been going on. But in fact, the real issue with them in that region has been going on for decades now because of the North African, Middle East, and Central Asian movements into that economic sphere has been a huge problem for these various countries that have essentially different communities dealing with refugees in
yeah.
different ways. The Swedes versus the Greeks versus the Spanish, and of course, we saw the whole issue of migration and refugee d determination and so on was one of the reasons why Brexit happened. There were a lot of
Yeah.
Brits who basically said, "Well, this is not what we signed up for," and I think it was one of the issues that clearly tilted.
I think so too,
So, and they're still getting people coming in to UK across the channel in droves. It's not done just because they got out of the EU.
No.
So they're in and I would say at
They
best a
certainly have
holding
the
pattern.
certainly have the groundswell movement that still goes on.
That's right. And you have still, I mean, there's another headline here, shipwreck off the Algerian coast claims 11 lives. I mean, people have been drowning in the Med now for years, you know, and organizations from various navies to the IOM to various NGOs who've been out there trying to, if not dissuade folks from taking the trip, but if at worst, you know, going out and picking them up in these rickety boats or the life rafts after the boat is has sunk. It's an all, you know, clearly it's been one that's been going on for a while, and I don't know if they have the intestinal fortitude collectively in Brussels to do much about it. You know, the Ukraine thing just exacerbates a problem for them.
Although another interesting point, I guess keeping in flying, I see Canada is now kind of one of the last bastions of the civilized world, dare I say it, to still have people requiring masks on planes, trains, and automobiles.
Listen, I if the Canadian parliamentarians and the government want to destroy any semblance of a tourist industry in this country, they're doing one heck of a good job. Because you know, this was a long weekend in the US, and I didn't see very many plates here from neighboring Michigan, you know, because we're located just you know, 30 miles from the border, and usually we have a slew of, especially on long weekends, of Americans. There's no American plates here, which means they're not coming over and spending any money. But it, and today, I think it was noted by TNC that the Trudeau government has voted against lifting the thing. They had a vote. The conservative opposition had a motion defeated, 202 to 117, and you've got the prime minister and his cabinet standing there with other masks on, going on about the COVID. You know, like you say, China and North Korea, what a club to be in. You know, these,
Well,
and I'm sorry, if we're talking about, you know, border management, well, if this sounds, this sounds like a non, you know, they used to talk about non-tariff tariffs, about how things were kept out of a country. Well, this legislation is kind of like a non-tariff tariff. We don't want anybody coming here, okay? And the only people who profit from this in the airlines, for example, are foreign carriers, because as soon as you get on board a BA plane or an American Airlines plane, you take your mask off and you're gone. You know, this is absurd. What we're doing, and there's no science to it. The IATA people say there's no, the UN says there's no science to it. Like, why are we in swimming up? I don't know. I mean, it boggles
Well,
my mind.
interesting. I had coffee a couple of weeks ago with a gentleman that I used to volunteer with, and he's a pilot for an airline. And he indicated that on their particular plane, relatively new one of the Boeing 787s, I think it is. Anyway, whichever one it is, he says that the recycling of the air in that plane out surpasses a lot of the old airline standards, and they have even been talking about having the ultraviolet light to clear the filters and everything as well. So, you know, if that's the case, why do you need a mask on an airplane that is recycling the air, who knows, 18, 20 times in an hour?
Well, they're very different shades of incredulous. Well, I'm just incredulous. We have a country that's the most vax one of the most vaccinated countries on the planet, and we're still doing this. Why? And it, there's well, today's news again from Canada, and we're, you know, we have an international audience. So for those watching and listening, this is not how we're going to talk about. But you know, this the government of Canada decided that it's going to ban handguns, sale, importation, transfer, whatever, an absolute ban on this, okay, which is fine. You couldn't buy a handgun here before anyway. So anybody who knows Canadian gun laws knows that in order for you to get a weapon of that kind, it's practically impossible. So we're the big push appears to be again to stop the illegal handguns coming into Canada from the US by waving the legislative wand. We're going to ban them. None of the gangbangers in Toronto and Vancouver and Montreal that have gang fights with handguns go to the local registry office of the federal government, the agency that deals with handguns or firearms, says, "Oh, I've got this gun. I'd like to register." These are all illegal. So the this is very strange that first we have this autocratic approach to the border traffic with regard to travelers, and because apparently North Korea and China are just as intolerant as we are to the COVID virus, and then this business clearly aimed at the U.S. trafficking. Well, if you want to stop every vehicle and every truck coming into this country and check for guns, great. Except you're going to have traffic backed up 30 miles into the U.S. at these border crossings, and there simply aren't enough border people to do this. So this is a one of those weird, bizarre legislative imperatives that have come down from the I would say the virtue signaling crowd that it will have no it will have no impact on the criminal community. They could care less whether you passed a law on handguns. It's so stupid. And by the way, this is the same government that has reduced the sentencing for people who have caused a crime with a firearm, because they don't want people, because for some reason that is part of dealing with the issue. You reduce the penalties at the same time you take. Oh, come on. I don't understand it, but hey, we're a little bit off the border issue here with that, but it's just one of those things that you shake your head and you go, I don't get it.
Well, it goes back. I think it was a couple of weeks ago. I had an email link come in from a contact, and we're talking about how are you going to legislate stopping handguns. And the thrust of the article was so that somebody had heard a drone go over their house, and they didn't know where it went, and they had a whole bunch of people out within an hour kind of looking for this, and they didn't look too, well, let's just say they looked like your typical criminal. And the next morning, this guy who had heard the drone go over his house went out and found that the drone had gotten caught up in a tree not too far from him, and it had a big satchel below it. And in that satchel were nine handguns. Of course, it just happened to be coming from the United States, and I guess the people that had the control of the drone lost control of it. But how are you going to stop that with this legislation, right? I mean, you can stop the cars, but are you going to then put a ban on drones? I don't know.
Well, it's we'll have to watch this because I think that there's a the impact clearly on the tourist industry with the kind of ban, you know, this draconian approach to everything because it seems to play well in, you know, the core of some of our urban cities. It's I don't know. I truly don't know what the end game with this is, because it borders on the illogical, and particularly when you have organizations that have no particular axe to grind or saying, look, what are you doing this for? You know, it's anyhow. So that's it. What else is happening in the world that we
Well, I
should
guess
look at?
just to wrap that point up, just to say you can have all the controls and the restrictions you want, and it can come from all the people that think that they're being adequately protected. But everybody forgets that it's all fine until it affects me personally. So all of a sudden, I'm now stuck in a border lineup that's 20 miles long. I'm going to get quite upset about it. And everything they've done to protect me is kind of out the window now, because this is affecting me personally. So
Well, you know, unintended consequences of the pandemic, to me, centers around more of the mindset by the leadership that was fairly unserious through large parts of the pandemic, and now suddenly want to become, I don't know, superheroes and deal with this. You know, it's like we're going to start dealing with the situation after the situation is over. But next time it comes, we'll know what to do. But in the meantime, we're going to do these things, which have no relevance to you know, the it's anyhow, it's confusing, and it's not going to augur well for the Canadian tourist industry. Clearly, the economy will suffer, and I think to some degree our as a country, Canada is losing its prestige in the eyes of a lot of the international community, and it's that's sad, because you know, this is a great country, but some of the things that we are promoting internationally is not being welcomed as you know, a rational and a well thought out policy on so many levels. So, but that's, you know, we don't want to be too Canada centric because we'll be boring a large percentage of our
And I
audience.
guess coupled with that was the other thing that I saw about Speaker Pelosi's husband, who was picked up on a DUI. And
Oh, really?
I thought it was quite interesting that talking about let's do all this for the good of the people and ensure we're protecting them. Nancy Pelosi has been very, very outspoken about a lot of things, but now she's whining for privacy because this is a private matter.
That's interesting. Privacy when it, oh, I see. When it's at my front door, it's different.
Well, that's right. Yeah. It kind of reminds me, what was it Marie Antoinette said? Let them
Yep, the
eat
meat
cake.
cake. Yes, that's right. What, was there any more on all I saw was briefly that we spent the night in the Huascar and got out on $5,000 bail. That's all I.
Well, and I guess that's it. It's a public record, and when I worked on the border, it was one of those great things that Joe Blow could have a DUI and nobody cares.
Correct.
But woe betide you if you were some kind of a big name movie star or politician. We had that over here, actually. One of our former premiers got picked up in a DUI in Hawaii, and his face was plastered all over the paper.
Yeah. Well, there is a bit of hypocrisy built into every politician, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I think
It's not, it's like when you buy a car, what option would you like with the car? If you're buying a politician, one of there's no option. You get hypocrisy, it comes standard.
yes.
Anyway, so listen, we have made contact with a number of people in the community, the Border Poll community, who we're going to be talking to in the next couple of weeks, who are going to be sharing their experiences. In their various career incarnations. So this is good news. It's not just you and me babbling here for 15, 20 minutes or so. So we're looking forward to that. We're getting some nice feedback on first episode. So it's
Great.
positive. And one of the things, of course, that we are trying to promote here is in the fall our Border Poll Forum, and our event coordinator is also going to be coming on and explaining how we'll be challenging that one in the fall. So it's we got some fun stuff coming up in the next number of weeks, or perhaps even a special edition we can put out depending on when we're able to get these folks on. And so we'll see. But as I said, it's a little late. This is a Monday, but you know, we'll try to make it for every Friday like we do. And I'm sure Friday morning we'll open our little digest, and there'll be all kinds of new stuff that we can bat around.
And just by the fact that this is recorded and we've solved a number of the world's problems, I'm sure people will be very interested.
Yeah, well, we'll see. All right, Bob. Well, look, you have a good week.
And you too.
We'll see you on Friday.
You bet. Have
Take
fun.
care. Bye-bye. All right, I got that in the can. Okay.